please stand as you are able and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Scala?
Here.
Mr. Thomas?
Here.
Mr. Pitzer?
Here.
Ms. Peters?
Here.
Mr. Treese?
Present.
Mr. Ruffin?
Here.
Mr. Trapp?
Here.
Next order of business will be approval of the minutes. We have two sets of minutes, one from the December 3rd meeting and a second from the December 17th. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes of the December 3rd meeting? Are there any corrections, additions, deletions, subtractions, additions? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes? Motion made by Mr. Scala, seconded by Mr. Pitzer. Any further discussion? All those in favor of approving the minutes of the December 3rd meeting indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, the ayes have it. And on the December 17th minutes, are there any corrections, additions, deletions, admission, subtractions? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve?
Move those
Mr.
minutes.
Scala has also approved for the and seconded by Mr. Pitzer. All those in favor of the approval of the minutes of the December 17th meeting indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Seeing none, the ayes have it. The ayes do have it. Next order of business will be approval of the agenda. Are there any adjustments to tonight's agenda?
There's not much to be adjusted.
Excellent. I would make a motion that we approve the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
By Dr. Peters. All those in favor of approving the agenda as distributed indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
And seeing no opposition, the agenda is approved. We have two scheduled public comments tonight. There are several opportunities to address your city council. Those that contact the city clerk's office prior to the agenda going out can speak for 5 minutes at the beginning of the meeting, for which there are two. Is Mary Harrison available? Good evening and welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you all. Thank you all for hearing me. My name is Mary Harrison. I live at 2400 Florida Court off East Walnut in Ward 3. My husband and I bought our home about 1989. In the early 90s, our neighborhood association came into a negotiation with the Kroenke Group and the City of Columbia. At the time of all the development of the Broadway shops, we were concerned about through traffic through our street. East Walnut is a dead-end street with dead-end streets and very limited access. We negotiated successfully, and an emergency gate was placed up there. That emergency gate is maintained by the Kroenke Group. It is considered there. They maintain it, keep it there. But it's meant as an emergency gate only. It is locked. But recently, we've had many acts of vandalism where people are now aware that that road kind of goes through back up to the shopping center, and they're coming through and cutting off the locks and opening those gates, so we've got a lot more traffic coming through. At one time, our neighborhood was pretty much unknown until basically the park was put in, which is a great thing for our neighborhood. We love the park. Another aspect that increased awareness of where we are is Roots and Blues Festival. A decision was made at some point a couple years ago to open that gate during the whole time of the festival to allow traffic to go through. So that's raised the awareness of that gate being back there. We have a lot of pedestrians in our neighborhood. There are no sidewalks on East Walnut. We have a large group of our population that uses that as their access to the shopping center. They don't have vehicles. We also have a large contingent of people that use motorized wheelchairs that use that again to do their shopping. We are concerned by the increased number of vehicles we have and now the breaking of that gate continuously. We've had three break-ins of it over the Christmas holidays. So it's just something that we wanted to bring to the attention. We realize it's Kroenke's problem, but we are asking a group of our concerned neighbors, are asking if it's a possibility if the city can place like a street light to the southwest corner of the gate and possibly a sign noting that this is a emergency gate only and that there is an ordinance against vandalism and destruction of property. And we'd ask you to take all that into consideration for us. We would really like a camera, but we know with budgets that's not feasible. So we just wanted to put our statement out there and make people aware of it. Christmas Eve, a car came down trying to get through it. went into a yard, had to get a tow truck out in the mud. We realized people like easy access to things, but it's a very narrow street. So we just wanted to let you all know that. So thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. You've got, we don't usually ask questions, but I know you've got a couple minutes left. Mr. Scala,
I'm not going to ask a question, and if it's appropriate, I'll do it at the end of the meeting, but I certainly would like Mr. Glasscock to look into the possibility of making sure that that lock is sufficient.
Sure.
And perhaps some signage, too.
Have you brought your concerns to the attention of the property owner as well?
Have we what? I'm sorry?
Brought your concerns to the attention of the property owner
Yes,
as well.
They have been very Great. Good. We talked with Jessica Hudson, who runs the Kroenke Group Management Company. She's very responsive. As soon as we tell her about another cut, they replace it. But it's just not going to be able to go on forever.
We'll see what we can do about a permanent solution.
Thank you
very much.
The other thing I wanted to mention, the trail is being put in behind Willow Way, down from that hill. We've had a lot more... And there is a homeless camp back in there that's not a problem for us, but we just want the trail. We'll also go behind the houses on Willow Way, which will be more attention and access to that area.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our second speaker will be Maria Orapollo. Good evening.
My name is Maria Orapollo. I live in the 4th Ward, 208 East Briarwood Lane. Thank you, Mayor, City Council members, and Happy New Year. My comment title is Policies, Procedures, and Practices, but as you may have correctly guessed, it is about the performance audit. I'm here to promote it again. I need to say that this has not been easy. I've been on that side of the table. I've also been on the staff side of the table. This is not an easy thing to be talking about. I also am beginning to feel like a broken record and boring. And I have no illusions that this is going to be a quick sale. But I needed to be here tonight to provide you with an update on the process, which began in March of 2018. That is when I stressed the difference between the required annual financial audit of the CAFR and what may be lacking from that specific overview of our finances. In 2014, I was appointed to the Finance and Audit Committee under Mayor McDavid. At the time, the FAC met only twice a year, once to approve the yearly contract of the auditor, outside auditor, and once to receive the summary audit report. By 2015, it became clear that we weren't receiving copies of financial reports, quarterly, monthly, nothing. My colleague, and also a member of the FAAC, John Clark, and I began to openly express concern that we weren't being helpful to City Council. Any questions regarding how the city manages its money were going unanswered, and there was an assumption by some council members and the general public that the FAAC was watching the finances. My experience with the committee's lack of discernment of the city's finances caused me great concern, one that made me unwilling to play the "we've got this" mentality. Many pointed to our committee as being the eyes and ears of the city's money. John and I continue to push for more frequent meetings and asking for documents. As seasoned members went off the committee and new members came on, we found support among them. Today, the committee meets monthly, even with the absence of a finance director. We have received some requests from council to review, and we've been happy to comply. However, I remain concerned about the lack of professional and certified staff on the finance department. When managing a $35 million budget with 54 different accounts, there needs to be recognition that creating, developing, and implementing and reporting on the budget is more than an IT exercise. It requires CPAs and CFAs whose education, experience, examination, and ethics perform in compliance with federally mandated regulations. Also, a CFA and a CPA have a depth of understanding of concepts, and they have the tools related to investment valuation and portfolio management. CPA and CFA credentials distinguish them from those who simply hold accounting degrees or job titles that are referenced in accounting industry. What we see, however, is a reliance not on education or certification, but on that's the way we've always done it. As I spoke up more and more, I found my concerns resonated throughout the city with individuals, small focus groups, and even city staff. As such, I was encouraged to submit the petition to the State Auditor's Office requesting the performance audit. The process for submitting the petition involved completing a form which was submitted in late of November 2018. I have a slide that you should be able to see on your, if I can get it. I don't know if you can see it. I did this for your edification. It lists a summary of the six concerned that I submitted to the auditor. A few days later, I was called by the state auditor and asked to submit to an interview with a case manager. That interview took over 2 hours. At the end, the case manager approved the petition, moved it forward to higher-ups for a review, and a week later, I received a packet with instructions to collect a minimum of 5,000 signatures from registered voters who reside in Columbia. Thank you. Tonight's presentation is the first public update of the citizens' request for a performance audit. Small groups and individuals, some of whom are here, have already begun collecting signatures. As my email and voicemail continues to grow, this process has gone from I to we. What we are hearing from our neighbors and friends are concerns about the vacancies, not only in the finance department, but across the city's department. The much beleaguered police department is already dealing with lower than needed staff numbers. Electric line workers are leaving the city for better paying jobs, resulting in newly trained staff taking on more complex duties. And staff in many departments are doubling up on their duties due to the lack of adequate staffing. There is a group of citizens that are requesting from the HR department job descriptions of certain positions, including those that are currently vacant. Their concern is, what are the specific roles and responsibilities of these jobs? Are they being done by appropriately skilled personnel? And or are the jobs being done by a dedicated staff person rather than doubling up on duties to current staff members? This citizen request for a performance audit exemplifies the unease your constituents have been feeling for a long while. We have sat across kitchen tables in homes all across the city. We are hearing in every one of your wards the worry of unanswered questions, unfulfilled promises, and the uncertainty of how our tax dollars are being spent. There are people in different groups that are aligning with each other over this issue, and discussions are taking place. Most importantly, we are meeting people where they are. We're hearing from staff, some present and former, who are in support. As we struggle to find a way to present the audit as a good thing, what we're hearing is transparency cannot happen when information resides in the hands of the few. Everyone should have access to the information, and basically, people here do care about our government. We are ants on the move. We could continue to move this process forward, or you can take it over. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Arapalo. Thank you for being here. We're going to have a short, short agenda tonight, and then probably some more discussion on some issues. Seeing no public hearings, no old business, next order of business will be the consent agenda. Madam Clerk, would you read the consent agenda?
Items on the consent agenda include bills 316-18, 317-18, 318-18, 319-18, 320-18, 321-18, 322-18, 323-18, 324-18, 325-18, 326-18, 327-18, 328-18, and resolutions 119, 219, 319, 419, 519.
And Madam Clerk, could you read the consent agenda again and call the roll?
Bills 316-18, 317-18, 318-18, 319-18, 320-18, 321-18, 322-18, 323-18, 324-18, 325-18, 326-18, 327-18, 328-18, and resolutions 119, 219, 319, 419, and 519. Mr. Scala.
Yes, on all bills and resolutions.
Mr. Thomas.
Yes.
Mr. Pitzer.
Yes.
Ms. Peters.
Yes.
Mr. Treese.
Aye.
Mr. Ruffin.
Yes.
Mr. Trapp.
Yes.
And seeing no new business, the next order of business would be bills for introduction and first reading, Madam Clerk.
All bills are introduced by the mayor unless otherwise indicated. Bills 119, 219, 319, 419, 519, 619, 719, 819, 919, 1019, 1119, 1219, 1319, 1419, 1519, 1519, and 1619, first reading.
Thank you very much. Seeing no further business, we will move to reports. The first such report is the correspondence from the Downtown Community Improvement District, where they have nominated five directors for five positions. I have had, and Mr. Hohenstein, I haven't had a chance to visit with you about this. I understand one of those persons has withdrawn. I'm going to appoint Adam Dushoff, Kaylee Lamone, Tom Mendenhall, Munir Mohammed, and I'm going to go ahead and appoint Ben Wade, but I understand that he's going to withdraw and you'll fill that vacancy via us with a separate letter. And let's see, does that require consent of council?
Yes.
May I have consent for the slate of officers that the CID has presented?
Yes.
Without objection, the slate is approved. Next one will be a report from Office of Sustainability. Would you like to make a short presentation, or?
Do you want to be done by 7? No, I'm just kidding.
Nope. 7:20 was the deadline.
Oh, okay. Well, so Stacy Weidman from the City Manager's Office actually has taken most of the heavy lifting on this. So Stacy has some words.
Yeah, I mean, we could just go to questions if you have specific questions, because I tried to be as thorough as possible. So
I understand there's a portion of the VW settlement funds that are available to municipalities to replace aging diesel fleets to offset the impact of the emissions problem with VW. Is that correct?
Yes, and we're applying for the government trucks category as well as the transit and shuttle bus category.
And so by government trucks, would that be heavy trucks, or would it be
yes.
Parks and Rec and Public Works and 3/4 ton and above, I would assume?
Yeah, they're all medium and heavy trucks.
You have a sense of how many trucks that would be in the 92 to 2006 category?
Yeah, of the eligible trucks. So we had to go through and do some work just to determine which trucks were eligible. We're applying with 7 buses and 13 trucks, and those are 2 from Parks and Rec, 5 from Public Works, and those are all from the street division. 6 from utilities, and those are 5 from solid waste and 1 from electric.
Got it. Good. Any objection or questions or direction?
Is this like an all or nothing kind of thing?
No. The Department of Natural Resources will evaluate the application vehicle by vehicle individually. I think the goal is there's a limited amount of money in each category for the first round, and there could be up to 4 rounds. But in the first round, it's about $3 million for government trucks and about $2 million for transit vehicles. So they'll just evaluate them vehicle by vehicle.
And the first round is only 50% match, so we would have to provide the other 50%. And the chances that we would get our whole application are pretty slim, because this is open to the entire state of Missouri.
I assume it's competitive, very competitive.
Yes.
And a lot of municipalities will apply.
Correct. And the way that the DNR did it was based on where are the Volkswagen vehicles, where they registered. So the majority of those are in the St. Louis region and Kansas City region, and then the rest of the state gets the rest of the pool.
Okay. Any objection? Go
no.
forth and do good.
7:20.
Interdepartmental fund requests. We don't do capital transfers anymore. Any questions on the non-capital? Seeing none, thank you for that disclosure. Are there any general comments by the public? Please come forward if you'd like. About any issue. Right.
I'm Virginia Wieman-Steiger, and I read in the newspapers, Columbia Tribune, on December 30th, that the city has decided to make the residents of Columbia pay for the political rally outside Columbia city limits at the airport. The issue I have with this, and many other friends and neighbors and family members, is that this is a political rally that is paid for by the political party that hosts it, or the political person running who benefits from it. This is not something that I think the city of Columbia should take on by picking a side. We're supposed to be non-political when it comes to that. The city residents don't always endorse a specific candidate, so why would we pay that $41,000 cost? It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. And I respectfully wish to make an objection to having to pay this cost. Also, I feel that if who decided that this should be a cost that was passed on to us for this specific purpose and why it is this way.
Would you like to comment?
Anybody have an answer?
We have always not charged for the use of the airport. Mm-hmm. We did send on the cost to emergency management, which collected all the information, and whether they submitted to the campaign or not, I don't know, but we have never charged for any campaign, to my knowledge, since I've been here for 16 years.
Okay. So have you read that article in the Columbia Tribune?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So what do you think about that? Do you think that's fair direct, to all us residents?
Yeah, we're not going to have a debate. I appreciate your comments.
I'd like it noted that there are many people who feel that this is not a cost we should absorb. It should stay with the RNC, DNC, whoever the political party is. That's their duty to pay that bill, not us residents.
Well noted. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any additional public comment? Good evening.
Good evening. Lynn Maloney, 204 Maplewood Drive. I'm sure you're aware that on Monday in the Tribune last week, the reporter exposed Lieutenant Brian Tate's extensive number of social media, sexist, racist, classist. This is a person who was in charge for years of internal affairs investigations of complaints against other officers. You probably know that that story was also picked up by the Kansas City Star on Thursday. It was picked up by Newsweek on Saturday. And I acknowledge you all as proponents of community-oriented policing, acknowledging how important it is to acknowledge the relationship between the police department and the trust of the community. So it would have been wonderful to have heard leadership acknowledge the significance, the impact that that had on the relationship and the trust of the community with the police department. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further public comment? Seeing none, are there any comments by council members? Mr. Scala.
Just a couple. Just a follow up on the business of East Walnut. I know there was an interested parties meeting as well when it was discussing the trails, and I did hear quite a bit of feedback about homeless problems in that area and so on and so forth. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. I didn't hear anything specifically about this lock problem, but it seems like we could probably follow up on that and provide some signage and so on. The only other thing is I just like to address the comments that the lady just made with respect to some of these rally costs. I think this is a policy question that we need to talk about, because there apparently, over the years, there have been some exceptions to some of the use of the airport and so on for these rallies, but there have been some exceptions to this as well, and we've accommodated now Roots and Blues to some degree with security overtime costs and so on, and yet some folks are being assessed for small demonstrations or marches in the city, and other folks are being excused for even larger expenditures. I think that's a discussion that we need to have from a policy standpoint to make sure that we can clarify that and give direction to the city manager as to where we want to go on this.
Thank you.
I have a couple items. First, we heard a presentation from the Bicentennial Committee, the COMO 200 Committee, at our last December meeting. There's two vacancies on there, and I'd like to appoint Catherine Reed and Lindsay Troutman to those two vacancies. There's also been a request to expand that committee by up to two, and maybe even more than that, and really to achieve some additional diversity. The Sharp End Committee would like to have a representative on that committee, which I think is a good idea, and without objection, I'd like for the city attorney to bring back a resolution amending that underlying group. I think there's a lot of work to be done, and a lot of people want to participate on that, and we ought to embrace that if that's okay. All right, thank you. Second, with respect to Maria Oropalo's comments, I want to ask the council again if you would like to join me in pursuing a performance audit from the state auditor's office. I think we're at the cusp of no going back with respect to a citizen's petition audit. The more they collect signatures, and if we choose at the end of that process to engage with the state auditor's office, I don't want that to be perceived as us trying to undo what the citizens are bringing to us. And if you have confidence, and I do, that they will gather the signatures to present that to the state auditor. We then have no control over the scope of that audit or input on that. While we will be consulted, we will be also presented a bill for that. I would much rather have that input on the front end and try to get some usable data and some additional information out of that as we begin to chart a roadmap for the next city manager over the next 2 and 3 years for that. And I think Ms. Orpolo lays out, I think her comments are even more profound as, and while she's not speaking as the chair of our Finance Audit and Advisory Committee, certainly her status as the chair of that committee informs my opinion more today than ever. So I will leave that with you. Any further public comments? Mr. Trapp.
I'd like to address the issue of tobacco retail licensing. It's been an ongoing, we've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes on bringing it forward. CNN reported on a study that looked at compared areas that had tobacco retail licensing versus those areas that did not. Teens in areas with tobacco retail licensing were less likely to start or to have smoked cigarettes and e-cigarettes than those who lived in areas with lower grades. Participants in communities with tobacco retail licensing were 26% less likely to begin using e-cigarettes and 55% less likely to report initiation and use in the previous 30 days compared with those living in communities without tobacco retail licensing. And the Trump administration Surgeon General has declared youth vaporization, nicotine vaping, a public health crisis. There is a 75% increase in the use of youth nicotine vaping 1 year over the next. So I would like that we would move forward. I think the ideal way is to bring forward a regulatory framework, vet it through the council process. And once we've approved that, looking at bringing forward the cost measure as a separate measure that we would have to put in front of the vote of the people. But I think it would be less complicated if we dealt with the regulatory framework through the council process, and then we just simply had a yes or no about whether or not we wanted to charge a fee for that license, and it would be a cleaner thing for the vote. So I'm asking that to, I know it's been in process and would like to see that move forward.
Any further public comment? Mr. Thomas?
Yeah, I'll just reinforce what you said, Carl. I don't quite see how we have a policy that at the same time charges our local activist group the cost of police overtime to do a march through the streets of downtown Columbia, whilst then absorbing the cost of a large political rally. I'd like to maybe ask staff, I didn't mean to interrupt your conversation, but how should we move forward on a policy around how we charge for public safety services for something like the Josh Hawley rally at the airport, or I understand we also paid for the Senator Obama rally shortly before the 2008 presidential election.
And a lot of them that use the airport is what we normally don't charge for. Because it's out there, it doesn't affect anything but airport.
But the
ones downtown and those things that are marches and those things, we do charge for that particular instance because it affects businesses downtown, and so you want to, you all have a policy of not affecting business basically and charging for use of the right of way, use for sidewalks, depending on what we close down. So that's a portion of it. So we'd have to address that as well.
But I think in the case of the march that's planned for just a couple of weeks from now, it's about police overtime, too.
Yep.
So that seems like a different thing than charging for the use of the public right-of-way.
Well, but we ask them not to, if they don't cross Broadway, I think the actual discussion was if you didn't cross Broadway, we didn't charge. It's when we close down Broadway we start charging because that's the heaviest use across there.
But it is to reimburse the police department
for stopping traffic costs. So for their safety.
And was the $41,000 for the Josh Hawley event about police time and security?
Well, when Secret Service calls, we don't have a choice.
Right, but we could charge the campaign.
That doesn't mean they're going to pay.
That's right.
So we did turn the money into emergency management. the price. So.
But just kind of following up on that, I guess what we need here is some sort of a report about what the status is with respect to the airport and whether or not the city council wants to consider a change in policy for either one of those groups, either
right.
the downtown or the airport groups, whether or not yes. some of those campaigns are willing to pay for it or not.
Correct. And all I'll say is, in the 16 years I've been here, we haven't charged at the airport.
And your point is that because the President of the United States was present at that event, it was the U.S. Secret Service that told the City of Columbia to put a certain level of
it's hard to tell them no.
Whereas if it had just been Mr. Holly who had come in,
exactly,
then
we would have
also charged the Holly campaign. We could have said that we're not gonna do it unless you pay. Is that right?
We've never charged, is all.
Well,
I'm
I know
saying.
We haven't, but
right.
I think you made the point that if the Secret Service directs it, we really can't.
We
say
can't
no.
say it's yeah. You, I mean, it's almost impossible to say no to the Secret Service.
Well, are we requesting a report
that's what I would like to see. I would like to see what the history is with respect, and that certainly that statement can be in there, that when they ask, we can't say no.
We can tell you what we have to do.
We can say no. They just, they can say, well, too bad. But I'm just saying, in terms of our discussion of policy, and particularly when it comes to equity in with respect to some of our citizen groups who are just demonstrating here, downtown, for example, I think we need to sort that out on this body.
Yeah, so if you could bring that report and the examples that fall into either of those two categories over the, maybe going back as far as 2008.
Probably go back a lot farther.
Okay.
So.
Dr. Peters. Can I ask where we are with Mr. Tate's investigation of his, were they Twitter? Whatever it was.
It's a personnel issue, Ms. Peters, and I assume not comment on it right now. It's an active investigation, and it's hard for me to comment.
Is that investigated through the police department, or is that just the city personnel policy, no matter who you are?
It's no matter who you are on an HR issue until we're finished with an investigation.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further public comment? I wish everyone a happy new year, successful 2019. Without objection, I move we adjourn.
You missed your over. You keep these meetings.
7:25 was my real number was 8:00.